Get ready. So let's stand to our feet and let's welcome Pastor David.
Amen. Thank you for being here. You can be seated this time. I'm going to throw them off guard. It was in the first service. I can't believe some of you stayed for two services. Either glutton for punishment or just waiting to say, can he really preach? I just want to find out. I don't know. Amen. It's been good. It's been a good morning already. It's good to be here with you today. As I shared earlier, what an honor it is not only to be at Grace Covenant, but it's an honor when your pastors are gone to feel that they can ask you to come and fill the pulpit and when they're away. And I'm glad that I could actually have the opportunity to leave my church with my associate pastor preaching and be able to do this today, because normally that wouldn't happen, but that worked out great for us. And so it is our honor to be here today. I love, and I've said this many times, for those of you that won't don't want to hear this, just plug your ears up. But I love this church, and I love your pastors. And they are family to me. Literally, not in the physical, but in the spiritual, they're family to me, and I appreciate them so, so much. Earlier today, my wife was so excited that I got asked to come to Grace Covenant. She loves this church, and I asked her again a while ago, Miss Glenn. I said, have you got a word now? She says, nope, still don't have it. But she did get that second cup of coffee, but we are glad to be with you today. I do want to take this time, and not asking him to preach, but I want to recognize Brother Crandall Fountain. He is a pastor down at Sneed's Ferry that is supposedly on vacation, but he got back home, and he was off of his services today, and so he's come to be with us here, and he prays with us. This is something I know that Pastor Wade and Pastor Jim would do, and I want to honor him today for being with us. Maybe others here, I don't know, but he prays with us on Monday morning as well, and we appreciate him coming and sharing with us today. The word I feel like the Lord has given us, if you have your Bibles, go with us to Daniel chapter 5. Daniel chapter 5, we're going to begin there this morning. We have a lot of scripture, the whole chapter really we're going to be covering, but we're just going to read portions of it now, and then we'll be going through it. Daniel chapter 5, would you stand with us now for the reading of the word of the Lord? Daniel chapter 5, verse 1 says, Belshazzar the king made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the 1,000. Belshazzar, while he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple, which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princesses, his wives, and his concubines might drink therein. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem, and the king and his princesses, his wives, and his concubines drank in them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver and of brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone. In the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace, and the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosed, and his knees smote one against another. If you would go to verse 25 with me. And this is the writing that was written, many to kill Farsan. This is the interpretation of the thing. Many. God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Peres, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. Then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with scarlet, put a chain of gold about his neck, made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. In that night was Belshazzar the king of the Chaldeans slain, and Darius the Median took the kingdom, being about 62 years old. Heavenly Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that you be with us as we try to deliver this word this morning to this congregation. Your people, And I pray, Lord, our hearts and our ears are open to your word today. And I pray, Father, that we not only are here just to hear and just to be a part, but God, we're here with intentional. We're here intentionally to say, God, what are you wanting to hear for me to hear today? God, I pray with intentionality, God, that we listen and grab hold of what you're saying to your church today and to us individually. I pray, Lord, now, just the anointing of the Holy Spirit, as is already is in this place, Lord, that you move us and stir us, Lord, under your might. In Jesus' name we declare it. Amen. You may be seated. Simply entitled, The Writing on the Wall. Many of you know this story, and we're going to be talking about this story. As I told the first service this morning, this is a simple message, I feel like. It's a message that God spoke, I felt like, this week to me to bring forth. And I just pray you open your hearts and your ears and listen to what the Lord is trying to say to us, I believe, as a church. And maybe today you're here, and you're not where you're supposed to be with the Lord. I pray that God will speak to you today. In this text today, we find this story of God dealing with Belshazzar. He gets Belshazzar's attention. At this particular time, Belshazzar is in the position of king. The Bible says when he gets his attention, he gets it in such a way that Belshazzar is scared. And he's not just scared, but he's scared to the point that his knees are knocking. Anybody ever been there? I mean, he's scared. Maybe the wine had something to do with it, but I believe when he saw the writing of the fingers on the wall, the Bible says it had his attention in such a way that the loins became loose and his knees began to knock. And he began to shake, literally, where he was at what he saw. Belshazzar calls forth his magicians. He calls forth the soothsayers and the astrologers and all that was in this kingdom that might could possibly say, here's what is happening. Can you translate the word that has been written on the wall? And the Bible says that none of them could. They could not tell him what it said. They were at a loss, and we have no clue to what this is. And here comes the queen. Queen being, we believe in this case, probably the word translates mother, that is here and says, listen, Nebuchadnezzar, when he was king, there was one that was great in the kingdom. He was a prophet of God that he set forth as the master of the magicians. His name is Daniel. And if you'll call forth Daniel, Daniel can probably interpret what the writing of this is. And the Bible says that he called forth Daniel, and he called Daniel over. And as he began to call Daniel over, he says, here's the writing. Can you tell me what's on the wall? And I want to look here for just a moment as we take time. The Bible says that Daniel came in and he questions him, and he even makes the statement that, Daniel, I've heard of you. I know who you are. In fact, the scripture tells us there in verse 14. I want to go there and read that. And I do that because it points out some things. It says that I have even heard of thee, that the spirit of the gods is in thee, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom is found in thee. Now, I point that out for a reason, because the Bible shows us something, that man, in our natural way, in humanity, in the natural, cannot translate or discern the things of God. But in the Spirit, we can. Meaning in the Spirit of God can discern and reveal and give the word of the Lord. Well, this man Daniel, which he describes, it sounds to me, he says, like, you have the spirits of the gods, and then he says, you know, you have the light and the excellent wisdom and all this. Well, to me, he sounds to me like this man's a little different than the astrologers and the others. He's a man of God, and he relates this. Paul writes to us in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and in verse 14. I want to share that scripture. It says there, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Do y'all get that? The natural man, the humanity, the flesh, the man that doesn't know God, the man who is not saved, can't understand. For they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned.
Daniel was a man of God. Daniel had the Spirit of God living in him, and Daniel was able to not only be there at the right time for whatever reason. Daniel had been there for many years. But all of a sudden, Belshazzar, he says, I've heard of you, but you can tell he don't really have a relationship with Daniel. He says, but if you can, he says, I've promised to clothe the person that can translate, that can interpret this writing, I've promised him to clothe them in scarlet and to set them in the third seat of the kingdom to give you great authority. Well, I love Daniel's response. And I want you to grab a hold of this. This is a message I was speaking earlier that I thought the Lord spoke to my heart this morning in this particular thing, that they offered him the things of the world. They offered him the authority of the kingdom. But Daniel's response was this. He said, O king, I don't want what you've got to offer, but I'm still willing to give you what the Word says. Church, there's something in that for us today. The world will offer us everything. The world will offer us goods. The world will offer us the riches of this world. The world will offer us peace and comfort. And even though we know that, hey, that don't always happen, but it'll offer us everything to make it feel good, look good, act good, be good. But friends, let me tell you something. We have a purpose in this life as the church. We have a purpose and a goal that God has set in us, and that is if we are full of the Spirit, we're able to discern what God has said and what God wants. The world can't do that. We've already determined that in the Scriptures in Corinthians. But those that have the Spirit of God, we have the responsibility to discern and give the Word of God to that message, whatever that message is at that time. And here, what I want to say is that, friends, we don't have to have. Daniel says, I don't want what you have to offer. I don't even want to sit in the third seat of authority in the kingdom. But I will give you what this word said, because Daniel knew this was the word of God. This weren't the working of Satan here. He says, this is the work of God. And I'll give you and discern for you what this writing is. And church, I want to tell you today, we can have what the world offers us if we want. Friends, it will interfere. But when we say, world, I don't have to have what you have to offer me. But what I do have is the message of God to give to you. That's what that God has called the church to do. Now, with that being said, let's look into the Scripture. The Bible says that he told him, he said, I don't want that. And by the way, that's in verse 17, a lot of what I did not read. And I'm fixing to go through some Scripture here. If you have your Bibles, the Bible shows us in verses 18 through 21 that he explains to him where he's at. Belshazzar, I want you to listen carefully. The word here for father also could translate possibly Nebuchadnezzar was his grandfather. It translates here, and he says, Belshazzar, I want you to listen carefully at what happened to Nebuchadnezzar. And as he begins to proceed and he begins to tell what happens to Nebuchadnezzar, I want to speak that here in verse 18 through 21. He says, thou, O king, the most high God, gave Nebuchadnezzar. He said, Belshazzar, here's what happened. He gave Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, a kingdom and majesty and glory and honor. And for the majesty that he gave him, all people, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him. Whom he would, he slew. And whom he would, he kept alive. And whom he would, he set up. And whom he would, he put down. In other words, he says, your father, Nebuchadnezzar, or grandfather, whomever it was, he says, he had authority. When he spoke, people, they done what he said do. If he said, lay down, you lay down. If he said, stand up, you stood up. And if he said, kill him, you killed him. And he was that man of authority. But the Bible makes it clear here that it was because of what God had placed in Nebuchadnezzar's life is the reason Nebuchadnezzar had this authority and had this kind of rule over people, because of who God had was in his life. And here in verse 20, he says, but when his heart, this is important, but when his heart was lifted up and his mind hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne and they took his glory from him. What just happened is, he says, Belshazzar, he said, Nebuchadnezzar got high-minded. Belshazzar stepped out on his own. Belshazzar forgot who God was. Belshazzar had pride in his life. And Belshazzar, when he stepped out in pride, God showed him who he really was. And the Bible goes on to say there in this scripture
that not only was he lost a part of his kingly throne, but in verse 21 it says, he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beast, and his dwelling was with the wild asses. And they fed him with grass like oxen. His body was wet with the dew of heaven till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appointeth over it whomsoever he will. Let me stop right there. Nebuchadnezzar went from kingship to living with the livestock in the field. He went from being a king of authority and recognized by people all over the world to being a man living in the field, literally eating the grass of the field. I'd say God had his attention. And in the process, what I want to point out here in this scripture is, the Bible says here in verse 21, till he knew. Now, I'm reading from the King James, not sure how yours worded. He said, till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men. God was getting the heart and the mind of Nebuchadnezzar. And he was saying, this is who it is. Now, here's the point that we're making here. He's saying, Belshazzar, you know this story. Belshazzar, you know what happened. You know what took place. And in verse 22 it says, and thou his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knowest all things, knewest all this. He said, you knew this story. You knew that he had gone from here to the bottom. You knew what had happened in his life. You knew that God had spoke to him. You knew that God had brought him to this place, and yet you still, in the position that you are, you pay no attention to these things, and you're living the way you're living. How many of us know that in life, God tries to get our attention? And we know what to do, but we choose to do what we want to do anyhow. Don't raise your hand, but how many of you have been there? We choose to do it anyhow because my flesh says, this is what I want at the moment. I know I've got time to take care of it later. I've got time to get out there. But right now, I want this satisfied in my flesh. And the Bible says that Belshazzar knew what was right. He knew the story of Nebuchadnezzar. He knew, and God, through the prophet Daniel, says to him, you knew what was right, and yet you've chosen to do your own thing anyway. Look. He says in verse 23, you've lifted yourself up against the Lord of heaven. You have defied his name and his house. And this, Belshazzar, look at this. This God, the God who holds in his hand your breath. If I could just get your attention for just a moment. The very breath that you're breathing right now, God could take the next one from you. The very God that gives you breath, every breath you take is from the Lord. The very next one could be gone. He says, Belshazzar, he said, you know right from wrong, and yet you've chosen to live your own way, and yet the God in which you defy is the God who holds the breath of life in his hand. I wonder how many of us here today are doing the very same thing. We take for granted what life is. We take for granted what we do. We take for granted who we are. We take for granted even more so who God is. And yet God gives us life breath by breath. And the Bible says here that the Lord spoke to him and he says, Belshazzar, the very God that holds your breath in his hand is the God that you have defied, the God in which you have worked against. Let's go to the translation for just a moment. The Bible says, and again, this is kind of my wording. I'm translating here. In verse 26, he says, your kingdom has been numbered. It's finished. He said Belshazzar, your days have come to an end. That's what this writing on the wall says. Your days have come to an end. God has a message for you, Belshazzar. And Belshazzar, God is saying that your kingdom is coming to end. It's been numbered and it's finished. You've come up, verse 27, he says, you've come up short of the job.
You've not been doing the things that God said do. You've not been doing the things that God said in order. You've kindly pushed them aside and you're living it up in your own fleshly way. And verse 28 says, this kingdom is divided. And somebody else is fixing to run the show. Somebody else is fixing to take the authority. Somebody else is fixing to step into place. And they're going to take it. And you think everything's good. But this writing says otherwise. The voice of God. Now, what's that mean to us today? That's a simple story in the Bible. But what does that mean for us today? We came to church today to hear from God. We came to church today, you know, hey, there's going to be some stranger. He's going to be at Grace Covenant today. Some nut, you know. No telling who Pastor Jim's asked to come and preach, but he's announced that some guest is coming. This crazy man, let's just go see what he has to say. So you've come today. What does this story about Belshazzar have to do with us? My friends, I want to tell you something. We're living in a day and time that the writing is on the wall. Church, listen to me. God is writing every day in the spiritual realm of things. He's writing upon the wall. And I'm talking to the church right here. He's writing upon the wall in the church. And many today, even sitting in the house of God, I hate to say it this way, but I believe that many, not all, but many are sitting with scales upon their eyes. And they can't even see the writing on the wall. But God is writing on the wall, and God is saying that the day is the day. Now is the time. He's saying, don't put, look, many are like Belshazzar. We're secure where we're at. We're okay where we're at. We go to church every Sunday. We get up. We go to our jobs during the week. We're okay. We have our family. We have everything in good order, and everything's fine. Hunky-dory, right? That's where Belshazzar was at. My friends, I want to tell you something. God says otherwise. God says there's things that I've called you to do. There's things that I'm calling you to do. There's things that need to be done, and what you do, you need to do now. And friends, I want to tell you, what's this story have to do with us is that we better open our eyes. Church, if you're here today, if you have the Spirit of the Lord living inside of you, you have the capability to discern what God is saying. You have the ability to see what is happening around you. You have the right to look at the Word of God and say, hey, this right here is going on. You look at the 24th chapter of Matthew, and you read that chapter as well as multi-Old Testament and New Testament, and this is what's happening in our world today, and we say that the writing's not on the wall. I bid the difference, friends. It is all over the wall, and God's hand, His fingers are moving, and He's saying, now is the time, now is the movement, now is the place, now is the time for you to get up. Don't just be relaxed. Don't just be where you're at and be okay with it. Don't just be okay with the coming to church and listen to the message. My friend, God is calling you. God is speaking to the church. God is calling us to work for the kingdom. I'm a kingdom minded. I belong to a denomination. This brother here belongs to the same. But I can tell you, and I think he can even tell you, that David Smith is a kingdom minded person. We need to be about the kingdom. And God is writing upon our walls every day. And He's trying to get us to see the writing on the wall. Not only are we having what's in Matthew 24, but friends, as I told this morning, we have situations. It's not only in other parts of the world. It's not just in other parts of the United States. I grew up right here in this community. Calvin, me and you grew up right here. And I remember growing up, and we never saw the things we see now. Oh, but it's here today, isn't it? The writing is on the wall. That in Beulahville, North Carolina, families are in trouble. Churches are in trouble. People's lives that were raised right, they knew right, like Belshazzar, they knew right from wrong, but they're living totally opposite. You may be here today and you're that person. As I was, raised in the church, almost born in the church. And a week old, I was in the church. And I stayed in the church. and I knew the church, and I knew the Word of God, and I was taught the Word of God, but I weren't living the Word of God. But all my friends, listen. There are many people that are still sitting in our churches today that you know right, you know the Word, you've been taught all these things, but you're not living it. That's where I was at. And I believe Belshazzar, he knew enough because Daniel, the man of God, says, and you knew these things, Belshazzar, but yet you've chose to do different. And I'm going to tell you today that there are many that know right from wrong in the house of God, and we're choosing to live our own life the way we want to. Look, Pastor Jim can preach all he wants to, but I'm just going to go so far, and that's as far as I'm going. Y'all got to remember now, I don't have to ever come back again. So I can say pretty much what I want to right here. Huh? Really, we get set. We really do. I don't say that jokingly. We really do. We get in a place that so many times we get in a place that we're just so relaxed in the church. We got a good pastor, and he is. Let me tell you something. He's one of the greatest men of God in this area. You hear me? But we'll get relaxed in that. We'll get settled in that. You don't get me off on Pastor Wade, okay? He's a spiritual father to me. And we'll think, man, we got the best. We're good, and we're okay. We come to church. Hey, we're good. We got two services on Sunday morning now. I can choose whatever which I want to sleep in. I sleep in. Huh? If I want to stay a little later and go to the late service, so y'all sleep in. I see y'all at the second service. We can do whatever we want, and we're okay. Bless God, you're not okay if you're not serving. Amen. You're not okay if you know right from wrong and you're choosing to do what you want to do in the flesh. You're not okay if God said do this and you're still doing what you want to do. You're not okay if the man of God is up here every week telling you the vision and giving you the vision and you're still sitting still. The Bible says that Belshazzar knew and he chose to do differently. And because of that God called him and he says, your kingdom is numbered and it is finished. And I want to tell you, friends, every one of us will stand before the Lord, maybe some sooner than others, but we'll stand before the Lord. And I'm telling you, we have a number and there's coming a time it will be finished. And I don't know when it is. But I know this, when I do stand, I'm praying for the words, well done. Well done. Friends, listen to me. There's writing on the wall today that is going in every hand. Look, I mentioned this earlier, I'll mention it again. Look, I've never seen families in such turmoil as they are today. And some of you may be here today and you're in the situations that I'm about to describe. But I've never seen, and we've never lived in a time, especially in this area, where we had so many single parents. We've never lived in a time when there was so much chaos between our children and our parents, and our parents and our children. We've never lived in a time, not in this area, that I know of, at least in my life, 50 years old, in the last 50 years, I've never seen a time like we're living in now, because in ministry, I see this, I hear this, I know this, I see it all the time. I've never seen the problems and the issues with families as I'm seeing today. You say, well, David, what's all that got to do with it? It's got something to do with it because the writing is right here, and all these things that I'm describing, this word says in the last days, so it will be. I want to tell you something. We have a problem today. We have an issue today with just doing what we want to do. And God is calling us. God is calling us to not just live right, but to do right, to carry it forth. We're living in a time that not only, I mentioned it earlier, I'm going to mention it again, not only are our families in chaos, and not only, Lord knows, don't get me in government, our government's all messed up, and all these things that are so messed up in our world, and we think this, you know, we see this. It is all writing on the wall. I thought about this morning, how could I do that? Give me a projector. It's all right. The Bible says Belshazzar saw the fingers of the hands of a man. And it's all writing on the wall in the spiritual sense. And God is writing the scripture as we have been prophesied to us and spoke to us, and we can pick it up. We have the honor and the privilege here to have Bibles and to be able to literally read it before our very eyes. And we see it happening, and yet we're still living our life. I want to tell you something, friends. We better wake up to the fact that what is being written on the walls today is trying to wake the church up. And as it's trying to wake the church up, we need to be saying, God, what is it that you want me to do? What is it you're saying for me to step in and do? God, where is it that I can be a part of? Belshazzar became relaxed. He was the king. At this point, right here, he had all authority as far as the earth was concerned. Today we have people sitting in the church. We have churches and church leadership. I'm sorry, excuse me, but man, they're so messed up. Not all. Not all. But when we allow things to happen within the pulpits of our churches that are contrary to the Word of God, friends, we ain't paying any attention to the writing on the wall. There's something wrong with that. The Bible says that we're living. It's obvious we're living in the latter days. They're coming, and the Lord's coming back. He's coming soon. He's coming soon. And my translation of this writing for the church today is this, as I spoke, and your pastor, I know Pastor Wade has said this many times, and it just bears in my heart every time that I think about this. What is this message for the church today? And it is simply this: what is left to be done, church, do it quickly. What God is calling us to do, don't say, well, I'm relaxed and I'm okay with it and we'll get it done in the next 5 years. I believe in having goals. I believe in setting goals. I believe that we have to have vision to go toward. But friends, why in the world are we waiting for 5 years down the road or 2 years down the road? God has called us to be acting now. The mission field is where we're at right now. That's our mission field. And when God says go, we go. When God says speak, we speak. When God opens the door for us to give conversation, we give conversation. Where we're at. The translation today, church, is what we do. Do it quickly for the kingdom. The writing is all over the wall. God is telling us. He's telling us. He's coming soon. The writing on the wall should say to any that are lost today, meaning those that may do not have Christ in their life. Those of you that may be here and you're like myself and you're the way I used to be, and you know the gospel. You know right from wrong. You know what Jesus did for you. You know who Christ is. You know He died on the cross. You know that He poured His blood out. You know He was resurrected. You can tell the story better than the pastor. But you've not yielded to it. I want to tell you something, friends. Don't put it off. Don't put it off. Don't put it off. That's what Belshazzar was doing. Belshazzar was safe and secure. Belshazzar had everything he thought that he needed. The enemy was camped outside the walls of the city. And yet he threw a party for the thousands of lords that were under him. And they drank and they got drunk and they were in there. And they defied the house of God and the vessels of the Lord. And they come to this place. They thought everything was fine. I want to describe to you, why did he feel safe and secure? The city of Babylon, every wall was 14 miles, 56 miles of the city. The walls that were around the city were 87 feet thick of brick. 311 feet high, with 250 towers of setting on top of this wall for people to look out for the enemy. The waterway that surrounded this city at every gate was lifted up for security. The width of this wall was wide enough for 6 chariots to go around. You know why Belshazzar felt safe? He said, there's no way the enemy can get in here. There's no way. But church, if you've got any discernment, any spiritual being about you whatsoever, you know the enemy's always, always looking for the way. The word of the Lord says, Belshazzar, your kingdom's fixing to fall. I wonder how many are sitting today that call themselves Christians, that when tragedy strikes, they're in a lost. They don't know how to handle it. They've become relaxed. And by the way, it happens to Christians. Trouble comes. Trials happen. Issues come in life. Just like it does with the rest of the world, it happens to the church. But our response makes the difference. Belshazzar's response with the enemy camped outside the city walls was, we're safe, we're secure, we're okay. But as his knees knocked at the writing on the wall, can you imagine what happened? I don't know. As Daniel said, here's the translation. Your kingdom is divided, and someone else is fixing to take over. In your spirit today, church, in your spiritual life, I wonder, is it divided? The flesh is pulling here. The spirit is pulling here. The Bible says it's a war. But I wonder today, where are we giving in at? The Bible says Belshazzar knew the truth. He knew what was right. And yet he chose anyhow. How many of us are relaxed because of where we live? The church we attend? The job we have? Let me tell you something. I don't care what kind of job you have. You think you may have the best job security. I always got a job. Let me tell you something. I don't care what you do in life, it can be gone tomorrow. It can be gone. And Brother Eric, we're talking earlier between services. There are many today, many young people today, and they're going out, and we got to have the same thing that Mom and Daddy had. They worked 40 years for it, but we got to have it now. Really. And what happens when that job is gone? What happened when tragedy strikes in that family? What happens when that marriage is in issues? And here we have, and we got $150,000 worth of debt that we can't no longer pay for. Huh? What happens then? My friends, the writing is on the wall. And God is saying, listen to me. God is saying, get your house in order. God is saying that I've called you to greater things. God is saying that I have a place for you. We sung that song a while ago. God has a place. And it's not just a place in the eternal. God has a place for you now. God has something for you now. God has something for you to be doing now. And it's up to you to say, I choose to go in the way that God says go, or I have a choice. God gives us a free will. I guess that's the reason I'm a free will Baptist, but God gives us a free will. And that free will is, says, I have the right. I can do what I want to do, God. That's what Belshazzar, I know he was a free will Baptist crowd. Because that's exactly what he did. He says, but I know right from wrong, but I'm going to do what I want to do. And the Bible, if you read on in that story about 30 or 31, says that that very night, after he had given Daniel the scarlet robe, and after he had set him in the place of the third seat of the kingdom, the Bible says that the Chaldeans come in, and the Bible says that that very night, he was slain. He was slain. He was killed. The very God that had the breath in his hand says it's coming. And I may be the visitor here today. You might not think much of me, but you hear thus saith the word of God today from this preacher. The day will come when you will stand before the Lord. Maybe today, maybe tomorrow, maybe years from now, but you will stand. But how will you stand? Lord, I've given you everything I am. I've given you everything I've got. Look, you ain't by yourself. Us preachers struggle with this too. Lord, I've given you everything that I am. Again, I want to hear well done. But the truth is, many times our flesh is in the way. The Bible says here that Belshazzar was full of pride. I wonder today how many of us are sitting in the church and letting pride get in our way. And I ask this question, how serious are we? How sincere are we in our love for the Lord Jesus? How sincere are we in our worship before God? How sincere are we to our loved ones that are dying and going to face hell? How serious are we about seeing that they get into the kingdom before it's too late? The Bible says to us in 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. Let me read that again. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. You see, friends, you may think you're okay today. You may think you're standing good. But if you're not in the will of God, fall can happen quickly. If you're not in the will of God, it can happen quickly. Are you? That's for you to answer. Are you in the will of God? You can be a Christian and be out of the will. Some of you like me, you're standing on your own. You know the gospel. You know what Christ done for you. I shared this morning the message. Look, no one had to tell me. The day I got saved, I remember it. Last Sunday in October 1985. I'd graduated in June. I got saved in October 1985. Nobody had to tell me that day. That preacher man would preach. He'd preach. I'd sit there Sunday after Sunday and held on to that pew. Some of y'all know what I'm saying. I held on to that pew with my heart about to beat out of my chest, and I just kept putting it off, and I kept putting it off. But that day, I couldn't put it off. And I said, Lord, let's see what happens here. I didn't say that. I stepped out. And boom, I was on the altar. Some of you remember. I could name names. Ed Kennedy, Rudine Kennedy. Their dad was my uncle. My great uncle, Uncle Joel. And I remember him laying his hand on my back and he said, David, are you saved? And I remember saying, I am now. He didn't have to pray with me. He didn't have to tell me. Because I knew already, but I had never said yes, Lord. And there are many people that are sitting in church houses all over this country right now. The word has been planted in their life. Planted. Seed has been dropped. And they know, but they've never let go and said, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Some are sitting in church today. And they maybe have known the Lord, but they've gone on their own. They've lived the fleshly life. They've carried on their self. And they need to come back and just say, God, please forgive me. Please. The good news, the gospel, the good news is that He will. He will. And I'll say that today in this church, say what I'm about to say in this church today because I believe it. And your church family will get around you and welcome you and love you. Galatians says to us in 6, verse 7, be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of your Spirit reap life everlasting. Amen. This morning, folks, the writing is on the wall. It's on the wall. The wall of life. But we find ourselves, maybe not a king, but we find ourselves in the place of Belshazzar. Do we know what that writing is saying? You see, for Belshazzar, he had to have somebody to tell him. But today I'm telling you that the Lord Jesus loves you enough and he cares for you enough. He not only wants you to be saved and be a part of his family, but to be a part of his church and to serve. And he's saying to us, the church, we see the writing on the wall. We see the word of God being fulfilled. Look, it's no coincidence. Praise God, Pastor Jim, Pastor Wade were able to go to Israel this past week. But it was no coincidence that the U.S. Embassy was moved to Jerusalem this week. There's no coincidence. It's writing on the wall. It's no coincidence that all these things are happening all over the earth that we don't understand. It's writing on the wall. But God is trying to wake his church up. God is trying to wake people like me up and say, if you see the writing on the wall, then heed to what you're seeing, for the time is at hand. The time is at hand. Church, what we do, do quickly. Would you bow your heads with us today? I want to say this. If you're here today and you're lost, meaning that you've never asked Jesus into your life, I certainly want to give you that right to come, that invitation to be here this morning. Myself or someone else will be glad to pray with you and talk with you. If you're as I was many years ago, you know right from wrong. Maybe you're in a backslidden condition. Maybe you just never simply yielded. Today I want to give you that invitation to come. Let us pray with you. Let someone pray with you. God is calling you. And church, I really want to pour out to you this morning. Maybe you're the person here. Maybe you're the church here. You see the writing on the wall. You know that the time is near. And you know that God is on the move. You know that these things are happening because it is fulfilling his word. But my question to you is, what are we going to do in response? What are you going to do in response? And our response should be, Lord, here I am. Here I am, Lord. Whatever you say, I want to hear it and I want to do it. God, wherever you call, I want to go. God, whatever it is you want me to do, I want to be ready. And I'm telling you, with that mentality, with that heartfelt mentality, listen, when you say that to the Lord and mean business, God will do something in the church. God will do something in your life. Whatever that need is today, lost person, backslidden person, or the church, I say to you today, this invitation is open. Father God, right now in the name of Jesus, we ask that you move our hearts, that you stir us, Lord, to the place that we see and know that you are working, that you are speaking to your church today, and that we are ready, willing to say, yes, Lord. We know that your word is being fulfilled. We know that you're writing on the wall of our hearts. We know, God, that you're speaking to us. And Lord, may we yield to you today. I pray, God, for any that are in here and you're dealing with their heart, maybe about returning to you, maybe about first-time decisions. I don't know, God, but today would you work in our hearts. Speak, Lord Jesus. We are here for you. Lord, we are here for you. Speak to us that we would respond in Jesus' name. Would you stand to your feet? We sing this song. I just pray. This altar is open. Church, this altar is open for you. Lost person, this altar is open for you. Please feel free. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hear the word of the Lord. Thank
you. Break down the walls. Push back the dark. Of the world, move in our hearts. There's a stirring in the spirit.
Hear the Lord.
Heaven, something holy, can you feel it? Heaven, break down the walls, push back the dark. Yeah. majesty and glory.